Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Well, good morning. We are glad for the people that are in the house that have braved the snow. And we're grateful. We're grateful for the online audience. This is an unusual Sunday. You know, I had thought I was going to start by asking this question, a pop quiz, right? Where were you on January 26, 2025? And I was going to ask people in the house to raise their hand because we had so many here for our first service in this building. That's just been 1 year. And it just reminds me of the faithfulness of God, the generosity of the people of Lighthouse. It's just wonderful to be part of what God is doing here in Findlay, Ohio. You know, last week, my name is Larry Sewell. I'm one of the elders here. I didn't say that, right? You know, last week, I stumbled into an old letter I had written after returning from a missions trip to Colombia. This was a letter I'd sent to prayer supporters to tell them about that trip. It was one of the most remarkable weeks of my life, as I think back on that time. I remember just remarkable things happening where just more people than we could count were making decisions to follow Christ as we were doing street evangelism, sharing the gospel with people on the streets of Colombia. This was the trip where my translator convinced me to go off-grid. The whole team is over in this part of the city, and we went over to this soccer field way over on the other side of town to share the gospel there. And maybe you've had that experience where you feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit to do something in evangelism that maybe you never would have done otherwise. You know, and you feel that nudge, and you go with it, right? And you decide to do it. And I remember speaking. We're sharing our personal testimony of what God had done in our lives. I was talking about how I came to faith when I was 12 years old. And we were sharing the gospel using the Evangel Cube. And I remember the faces of the people as they dialed in. You know, I'm talking through a translator. So as my translator is changing the words to Spanish, right, I'm watching the faces of people. And I'm recognizing that people are very, very dialed in. And I could sense that God was working in the hearts of people in that moment. At this soccer field, there were a bunch of kids playing soccer and their coaches. And at the end of the day, there were 17 young men and their coaches who prayed to confess their sins and to turn to God that day right on the soccer field. We saw God work with our own eyes. And I remember coming home and sharing that story and others with people. And surprisingly to me, I remember lots of people saying things like, or maybe wondering out loud, you know, I wonder if those were real decisions to follow Jesus. You know, kind of discounting the decisions a little bit. I remember one guy particularly, he asked me, he said, why would you go to Colombia and leave the safety of the United States? That was stupid. He actually used the S word, you know. He called me stupid for going to Colombia to share the gospel, right? And this is the reason that people go on missions trips, right? Every single person is invited to new life in Christ. It doesn't matter your background, your age. It doesn't. None of that matters. Every single person is invited to new life in Christ. Look at how the Bible is translated in the New English Translation at John 3:16, a very common verse. Listen to this carefully. For this is the way that God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life is real life. It's abundant life. And real life begins the moment we believe. You know, kids can understand the gospel. Teenagers can understand the gospel while they have their whole life still ahead of them. And I've known people in their 70s and 80s who find real life way late in the game. Genuine faith at any age is actually the beginning of a new adventure. It's the beginning point of our life with God. It is normal for people to want to have spiritual connection with other people. It is normal to sense God calling you into something special for His plan for your life. And it is a blessing, a considerable blessing, to be included in God's plan. Let's pray together as we begin this morning. God, I pray that You would open hearts and minds, that those listening online, those here in the house, would sense You leading them and help them think clearly, to push back against false ideas. We pray what Jesus prayed in John 17, that we would know You. Knowing You is eternal life. That You would open our hearts and minds, that we would be able to step into faith in that way. We pray You'd help us understand religious substitutes and to push back against those and embrace genuine faith. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the plan today is simply to do one thing. It's to answer a question to be answered from several different points along the spiritual journey. The same question at different ages. And this is the question. What message would you tell people about new life in Christ at the different stages of life? What message would you share? Let's start with children for just a minute. In Mark chapter 10, this is what it says. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so that He could touch them and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering Him. When Jesus saw what was happening, He was angry with His disciples, and He said to them, "Let the children come to Me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these little children. I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." That's a wow verse to me, right? Jesus is speaking so clearly. Jesus loves children, and we love children at Lighthouse Community. Now, children can make a whole lot of noise, we know that. But you know, it's children often who have ears to hear, that they can actually understand the gospel at very young ages. There's a whole lot of love that goes on for kids in our Lighthouse Children's Wing every single week. And according to Jesus, the way that children understand the gospel is the pattern for how all people understand the gospel. It's not different for someone who gets older. Children can understand that God made them. They can understand that God loves them without condition. They can understand that they've done bad things, but they can understand that Jesus took the punishment for their bad things, punishment that they deserve. Children can understand that Jesus rose from the dead. They'll accept that by faith. They can understand all of this, and they can give their hearts to Jesus when they're kids. Children add understanding as they gain spiritual understanding. That's how it works for all of us. I've been reading daily posts from a website called Family First. We have grandchildren, and we care deeply about our grandchildren coming to faith before all of the filth of this world invades their lives, right? We care about that a lot. And so I listened to this website, right? And a couple of things I learned recently. First, children who are babysat by Bible stories will generally walk away from God when they get older. That's a really sad thing. But on the other hand, children who have a genuine encounter with God when they're young, and they see the truth of God's word when they're young, they will carry that with them for a lifetime. Whenever I think about kids coming to faith, it reminds me of Timothy, the story of Timothy in the Bible. Let's read that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, "Evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others, and they themselves will be deceived." Isn't that a picture of our world today? I mean, that's how it is in our world. Then it says this, verse 14, but you must remember, you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know that they're true. You know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what's wrong with our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what's right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We live in a confused world, and winning evil sometimes seems like it's winning. And yet, Timothy had genuine faith that guided him his entire life, because at a very young age, the Bible was made clear to him in words that he could understand. He had faith of his own. Look at verse 5 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. I remember your genuine faith, Paul says, for you share the faith that was first filled in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. I know that the same faith continues strong in you. Timothy was one of the early church leaders who made a tremendous difference in the world, right? He understood the Scriptures because his mother and his grandmother taught the Scriptures in a way that he could understand when he was very young. When I think about children and I think about faith, there's some things that cross my mind. First, a child who comes to genuine faith and understands the truth about God when they're young will carry that with them for their entire life. That truth will lead them away from evil. It'll be a rock. It'll be something of extreme importance that we give to our children. Our kids don't need more stuff. What our kids need is parents and grandparents, people around them in their community that will lead them by walking in faith themselves. Genuine faith is probably caught more than it's taught. You know, our kids never stop watching us, and what they need is somebody who will show them genuine faith by allowing faith to change their lives. Children know what's true, and children know what actually matters to their parents. They're smart, they're perceptive. Do you want your children to walk with God? Walk with him yourself. That's how they learn. We are grateful to the parents, to the grandparents, to the Lighthouse kids workers, to all of the volunteers, all of the people here at Lighthouse that are exposing genuine faith, they're exposing Jesus to children while they still have their whole life ahead of them. Let's move up in age now to teens and young adults. What message would you tell teenagers and young adults about faith? Well, we all know that Jesus selected 12 disciples to follow him, right, to be with him. There were sets of brothers, there were fishermen, tax collectors, political zealots, this whole crew pulled together by Jesus. But did you know how old they were when they began following Jesus? Well, the Jewish history, the Jewish culture tells us that they were probably young teenagers and maybe into their 20s. Peter was probably one of the oldest, maybe the oldest. He was married at the time. Maybe he was in 22 or something like that, 25, I don't know. John is perhaps the youngest, probably a very young teenager. All of the disciples were either teens or young 20s. They were very young at the time Jesus called them to follow. He chose these young people to carry on his mission in the world. Like them, these teenagers, or like teenagers today, the teenagers then were interested in marriage. They were interested in family, education, and career. What kind of job am I going to have? All those kinds of things were swirling in their minds, just like today. But this is also true. The values and the life goals of these kids were probably established by the time they were 20. Faith is either established or it's typically discarded by this age. Either believe or you don't, typically while you're young. Jesus could have chosen mature adults to carry the most important message from God imaginable, right? He could have chosen mature adults, but he didn't do that. He's establishing his kingdom on earth. God in the flesh is here, and he chooses teenagers. I tell you what, I wouldn't trust my 15-year-old neighbor to use my riding lawnmower, okay? And Jesus is choosing teenagers to present his kingdom on earth. How did he do this? Well, he spent time with them. He spent time. He taught them in words. He taught them in actions. He pulled back the curtain and allowed them to see his life. They got to see the supernatural. They got to see everything. He showed great patience for them. I love John chapter 6. This is a little later, and Jesus is explaining that he is the bread of life. He's telling the crowds that. Most of the so-called disciples of Jesus at that point, they fled. This was hard teaching, and they ran away. But look what happens next. Verse 67 of John 6. When Jesus turned to the 12, he asked them, "Are you also going to leave?" Simon Peter responded, "Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe, we know that you are the Holy One of God." Despite all the emotional outbursts of Peter that we read in the Gospels, right? Despite his denial of Jesus at the end of his life, we know this. In his heart, Peter knew who Jesus was. You're the one and only. You are God in the flesh. We see Peter then later at Pentecost, empowered by the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel when 3,000 people believe and they're baptized, and the church is started, right, with the new believers there. Peter, who did all these embarrassing things in the gospel, he's the one who writes letters now back to the churches talking about faith. Consider some of these. 1 Peter chapter 1, he says this, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we live in great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day for all to see." Peter learned the difference between things that are temporary and things that are eternal. He knew the difference between the two. That would be a topic for a whole sermon just to talk about the difference. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war in your very souls." Wow. Peter had figured out that most everything in our life is temporary and passing away. And he's encouraging people to not let that destroy your soul, but instead to lean into God. He knew that there was no value at all living a life that's void of God. He knew the difference between temporary and eternal. And then look at chapter 4, verse 19. "So, if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what's right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you." Peter understood the faithfulness of God. Peter, who was an impetuous teenager when he first met Jesus, had now become a mature believer speaking truth to all who would hear. So, if you could spend an afternoon with Peter and have lunch together on the patio, what kind of things do you think he might say to you? Things that he knew, and he knew in his heart because he had been with Jesus. These are some things I think he might say from his first letter. Lean in and know Jesus. Lose yourself in that. Be all in. Don't be tepid. Be completely all in with Jesus. Don't spend your life on things like wealth and power. Those things have absolutely no value in the end. He might say this, Scripture is eternal and Scripture is alive. It will change your life. It's more than paper and ink. God has so much planned for your life, things that are good for you. You might say this, pray about everything to the God who hears. God promises peace to those who bring everything to the throne of God. And remember that this life is temporary. It is a dress rehearsal for life to come. You might also say this, don't look at all the stupid stuff. Don't look back at the stupid stuff you did when you were young. Or maybe the stupid stuff you did before you knew God. All of that is forgiven. There is simply nothing back there worth going back for. Leave it in the past. And he might say this, listen as the Holy Spirit leads you and as he shows you what he wants you to do. Here's a little perspective on young people. The young disciples who followed Jesus literally changed the world. Yeah, young people changed the world. Since that time in Columbia 6 years ago, I've wondered about those 17 young men on the soccer field. Maranila, Antigua, Colombia is about the same size as Findlay, Ohio. 45,000 people live in that city. These 17 young people said yes to Jesus that day on a soccer field. They encountered the gospel. They encountered the living God. And there was a church there. The pastor started a youth group for young people and their friends to disciple these kids and help them grow in their faith. And I'm just wondering, how much change in that city has occurred because of 17 people who came to genuine faith one day in the hot sun down in Columbia? Then I'm thinking about the young people, the teenagers that go to Lighthouse, and I'm talking about our city. And what could happen in this city if the young people of Findlay, Ohio and Lighthouse community got real about their faith in God and allowed him to start changing their lives. I tell you, I am grateful for the parents of our teenagers here at this church. Pray for them. They need the help. Pray for them. I'm also grateful for the student ministry staff here. Do you know that we have about 35 young people that come to youth group each week here at Lighthouse? And there's room for a ton more. Young people who might change this place eternally. Talk to Pastor Matt if you have interest in knowing about that. I want to transition now to the last group, and that's mature adults. Here's a question. Did you know that there is no relationship between getting older and having biblical wisdom? Those two things are not related at all. They run on completely separate tracks. Biblical wisdom is living our lives in awareness of God. It's knowing how to discern the voice of God through the scriptures. It's living as God created us to live, hearing his voice and allowing organic heart change as the Spirit of God and the scriptures work within us. Wisdom doesn't happen to you one day when you get older. Biblical wisdom grows as we understand God from his word. Young people today can gain biblical wisdom by understanding all that God has said in the scriptures. Now, we know that fools say in their heart there is no God. And, you know, there are atheists that shake their fist and they talk about things that they really have no reference point on when they say God doesn't exist. But much more often, I think it's about people who simply live their lives as if God did not exist. One of my favorite characters in the scriptures is John the Apostle. Now, some people just get grumpy when they get old, okay? But I think John was one of those guys who had deep spiritual maturity. And when he writes, like in the Gospel according to John, or in the letters that he wrote near the end of the Bible, he is a guy who's way up in years, and he's dispensing tremendous information and knowledge to us. He has this capacity to kind of cut through all the nonsense and tell us what's true. The Gospel of John is this magnificent look into the most important topic of all time. Who is Jesus, right? He wants to talk about the true identity of Jesus, and he says things like this: Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the light of the world, the one who brings life. Jesus is the one who sacrificed himself to pay for sin. Jesus is the one who raised Lazarus from the dead, a foreshadow of his own resurrection and a foreshadow of our resurrection also. John records the conversation where Jesus distinguishes between religion and spiritual rebirth by the Holy Spirit in his conversation with Nicodemus. We're not trying to work our way through a prescribed set of religious duties. What we're talking about is actually knowing God as he reveals himself to us through the scriptures. Jesus predicted his own death. He predicted his own resurrection. And then after he rose, he came back and showed himself to scores of people who knew him before and saw him after he resurrected. We're not called to salvation by doing good things. We're called to believe. That's what John would tell us. The Gospels are this exquisite description of the life of Jesus, all of the details of his life. But as you move on from there toward the end of the Bible, you find these little letters at the end. And the letter of 1 John particularly has such truth all put together. Now, John isn't mad at us. He's not trying to scold us. What he's trying to do is, these are the musings of an old man who's telling us what's true, what he knows to be true from his relationship with God. These are some of the things he says in the letter of 1 John. If you say you're free from sin, that you don't have sin in your life, John would say you're self-deceived. You're believing something that's not true. But then he would add to that, forgiveness comes to those who confess their sins and turn to God. He would say this: you say you love God, and yet you have a problem with your brother or sister in Christ. He would say, well, perhaps you're blind to something that probably everybody else can see about your life. You see, transforming faith changes our relationship with other people. It changes our hearts. Do you say you're saved and living in the light, and yet have a life that has a propensity towards darkness? Well, John would say, maybe you should reconsider, because genuine faith always, always transforms the life of a person. But then he flips this whole thing up on its head, and he says this: do you have confidence that you're a genuine follower of Jesus? He would say, great, because, the Holy Spirit is in those who believe. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're genuine followers of him. And genuine believers know that the Holy Spirit is within them. They sense that. They feel that. He's leading them. He's drawing them to Scripture. He's drawing them to prayer. All of that is normal for a Christian who's actually walking with God. In fact, that's the acid test if your faith is real. Is the Holy Spirit present in your life? Is your life in a trajectory towards God, or are you on your own doing your own thing? The thing I like about John is he cuts through all of the noise. There is a nice little devotional here tied up with a package with a bow to make you feel better today. He wants you to know what's true. That's what he wants us to know. And so in the spirit of John, I began to ask myself, what messages would I tell my younger self? If I look back over my entire Christian life, what are the messages I would tell my younger self? And it's a little personal, so I'm going to throw it out there anyway. It's not intended to be a comprehensive story, but just some high points. The first thing I would tell myself is that I should have walked away from religion far sooner. I should have walked away from religion. It took me a long time to distinguish the difference between playing church and actually knowing God. Those are different things. Going to church, hearing preachers, all of that had almost no impact on my life, no real impact on my life. I simply did not know what it meant to be led by the Holy Spirit and to see the character of God in clarity in the Scripture. I just simply didn't know. And I would say this, it is okay to push back against religious tradition and to seek God in authenticity. That's something we talk about here at Lighthouse a lot. Number two, I would have dialed into the Scripture much earlier. Hearing others talk about God, preachers preach about God, was simply inadequate for me. What I needed was actually to read the Scriptures myself with an open mind and open heart and let the Spirit of truth teach me. That's what I needed. I needed to read God's Word, not what other people were saying about God's Word. 2010 was a watershed year for me. It was a year that I read the Bible from cover to cover in the New Living Translation, and God spoke to me through His Word. I'm reading it, and it's like, as I see the character of God, my heart is changing, and He's drawing me into Himself. Another thing I would say is I wish I had gone on a missions trip earlier. I remember early trips. I was talking with Ryan today. That was actually my first trip down. But my second trip, I remember for the first time in my life actually praying for lost people. Actually praying. And praying that God would change my life and that God would change my heart. We're there in Haiti. We're sharing the gospel with people. And I remember talking with this young lady, she went by the name Lovely, a young girl who was desperate to hear the gospel. She's like leading me as I'm trying to share what it means to know God there in the hot sun in Haiti. In response to the prayers in Haiti, God used that team in a supernatural way as many, many young people and older people came to faith as we shared the gospel on those dirt streets in Haiti. I wish that I had found Christian community sooner, genuine Christian community. You know, Lighthouse is full of people who are willing to share their spiritual journey. And we all need that spiritual connection. We all need connection with people who know God and as we walk together in this journey. I wish I had understood that guilt and shame and obligation don't come from God. That's the calling card of religion. In contrast to that, those who turn from their sin and turn to God, what they find is new life in Christ. They find forgiveness, and they find freedom. That's the calling card of genuine faith. It's freedom in Christ, freedom from ourselves, freedom to walk with Him, to know Him. It's a divine reversal, you know? When we put aside religious activity, and we actually give our hearts to God, we find peace. That's what we find instead of obligation and all the shame. And I wish I had known earlier that God could actually change my heart, that He could actually change me from the inside. Transformation will be complete when we see Jesus, I know that. But in the meantime, we have the Scriptures, we have the Holy Spirit leading us, and as we read and we study and we see the character of God in the pages of Scripture, it changes us. It changes us from the heart outward. It's organic. It's good. So the conclusion of the whole matter is this. I would tell people at every age, whether they're children, whether they're teenagers or young adults, or whether they're 94 years old. I would tell everybody exactly the same thing. Follow God with your whole heart. Do that, right? The message is the same for all ages. Knowing God and knowing His Word is like putting on a different set of glasses. Glasses by which we see the world from a whole new perspective. God changes our perspective as we know Him in an intimate way. It's kind of like putting on sunglasses on a sunny day. Everything is now different than it was before. Consider what Paul tells the Colossian believers in chapter 3. Since you've been raised to new life in Christ, set your sights on the reality of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. For you've died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, if you're online today, you can click onto the blue card and you can check a box, and we'll email you today a 1 Peter guide. This was created just to talk about some of the highlights from today. And if you check that box, that'll get emailed to you. Another thing, another next step you might consider is actually going back and listening on Lighthouse Online. You can get to the sermons there and listen to the last three sermons that Pastor Fritz preached. One was about the scripture, one was about prayer, and one was about submitting ourselves to God. I would call those the foundation of genuine faith. And that's a great place to go for basic teaching to help you in your Christian life.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.